We have more stories about sexual harassment in the news today. Al Franken's name has come up with some charges made by a woman who's a morning radio news anchor in Los Angeles. I'm going to talk about that with Jen Chaney from Vulture in about a half hour or so. There are allegations now against Sly Stallone and more allegations against Roy Moore. Three more women have come forward in the last 24 hours to accuse him of sexual misconduct. One of them told a website in Alabama that Moore groped her in 1991 when she was in his office. He was married at the time. She says he kept commenting on my looks, telling me how pretty I was, how nice I looked, and he eventually grabbed her butt. Quote, he didn't pinch it, he grabbed it, unquote. In the same story, there's another woman who alleged that Moore asked her out in 1982 when she was 17 years old and told her, I go out with girls your age all the time. This is when he was in his 30s. And, of course, we have the information about the other women who have made the accusations about Moore and his unwanted advances. Meanwhile, the Republican Party is grasping at anything they can to try to keep Roy Moore out of the Senate. Everything short of telling you to vote for his opponent, Doug Jones. Not you, in Missouri and Illinois. The bi-state voters don't have a voice in this. But the Alabama voters do, and a lot of the evangelicals there are still on his side, as I pointed out a couple of days ago when I was talking with Amanda Marcotte. The question is, if Alabamans do vote Roy Moore into the United States Senate, can the Senate do anything about that? Steve Smith is a Washington University professor of social sciences and political science and the author of a book called The Senate Syndrome. I've asked him to join me here today to try to figure this out. Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm just great. Good to be with you.
So what is the option? Number one, day one, Roy Moore gets elected. He goes in there. It's the day that they're all shaking hands and putting their hands on the Bible and swearing whatever oath senators have to swear. Can they stop him from doing that?
Probably not. But, you know, the standards for membership in the Senate, other than the constitutional ones with respect to citizenship and age, are left to the Senate to decide. So if somebody wanted to challenge Moore at the stage before he's sworn in, there have been other cases in Senate history where someone has taken a case to the Senate and the Senate's conducted an investigation before allowing the elected individual to be sworn in as a senator. In most cases, though, the Senate takes the certificate of election from the state at face value and allows that individual to be sworn into office. My guess is that that is what would happen. Then the Senate would have the option of considering expulsion. The Senate, under the Constitution, by a two-thirds vote, can expel a member. And the standards for expelling a senator are really up to the Senate to decide. So the kind of working assumption is that if Moore gets elected, he would be sworn in, and then probably even Senate Republicans would take the lead in pursuing expulsion.
All right, let's break these into those two sections. One, I guess, would be exclusion, and one would be expulsion. Under exclusion, right. You said that they have had cases where they've investigated somebody, even after somebody was legally the winner of their election. What did those investigations bear fruit?
Well, in most cases, no. I mean, the issue usually is that there was some corruption or wrongdoing in the campaign. That is, that the person essentially stole the office, or that there was a problem with the vote count. It may have involved corruption. It may have involved honest mistakes. So the Senate then would conduct an investigation and determine the outcome. It's usually turned over to a committee. The committee makes a recommendation, and then the Senate chooses to accept or not accept the committee's recommendation. So that's probably how exclusion would happen.
Okay.
It would be highly unusual. I think really the first case ever to exclude a member on the basis of behavior long before the campaign and having nothing to do with the election process itself.
Yeah, this would be decades before. And at that point, if the Senate did say we're going to exclude you and will not swear you in, I'm sure Roy Moore goes to the closest courthouse and files a lawsuit. And that's going to drag on for quite a while, isn't it?
Possibly. It could very well be, though, that the federal courts would concur with the Senate that ultimately its authority to swear someone in is it's alone, and that this isn't a judiciable matter. That is a contested point of view, however, and so it could very well be something that drags for a while in the court. In the meantime, of course, he would not be in the Senate. Alabama would have a vacant seat, the Senate Republicans, who have only a 52-seat majority right now, would be without a senator on their side, and they would not like that. So, you know, as a practical political matter, leaving that seat somehow vacant is really not desirable from the point of view of Mitch McConnell and other Senate Republicans.
Absolutely. If this were to go to the courts and the courts said, we're not going to hear this, could it, I hate saying this out loud, could that end up in the Supreme Court? Could we have the Supreme Court deciding yet another election?
Yes. Yeah, you know, I think it's entirely possible that if they excluded him, that this could end up in the courts and ultimately make its way to the Supreme Court. Expulsion, though, is another matter.
Yeah.
Because the Constitution allows a two-thirds majority to expel, more or less leaves it to the Senate and the House to determine their own rules. And so the courts over the decades have interpreted that combination of constitutional provisions to allow the House and the Senate to determine their own ethics standards. Of course, in this case, the question is whether or not behavior that took place many, many years before a person became a senator, whether that is a legitimate grounds for expulsion. Obviously, there has to be some limit to the grounds for expulsion, or the majority party could expel all members of the minority party
right.
at will.
Right.
So, you know, there's got to be some limit, but the courts have surely given the Congress wide discretion on matters of this kind. The only other case that I know of was a case that occurred in the 1890s involving a senator who had engaged in some embezzlement in his business affairs more than a dozen years before he got to the Senate. And in that case, the Senate decided, took up the case, conducted an investigation, and decided that because the behavior took place so long ago, before he had become a member of the Senate, that they would not pursue the matter. So that's kind of the only relevant precedent that I know of on that's anything like the Moore situation.
Okay, so we have the exclusion option, probably not. The expulsion option, probably not. And then I guess option three for the Republicans would be, if he won't step aside, convince somebody else to let him be written in? Would that work?
Well, yeah, right. Well, you know, Alabama is currently represented by Senator Strange, a Republican appointed by the governor to fill the vacancy temporarily until this special election determines a replacement. And that's in the primary for that special election was between Strange and Moore. Moore beat Strange, and so he's the Republican candidate in this special election coming up in a couple of weeks. There is a possibility that Strange or someone else could put on a write-in candidacy at this point. And if one can imagine, at least in principle, that if nearly all Republicans got behind that write-in candidate and it was someone as well-known as Strange in Alabama, that person might have a chance to win. Most Republicans, though, think that would only divide the Republicans, and it would guarantee that the Democratic candidate Jones would win the special election.
All right. What about this possibility? Since Strange is the senator in that seat until the election is held and the new senator, whether it's Moore or somebody else, is sworn in, what happens if Luther Strange wakes up tomorrow and says, I know what I'll do. I'll just resign from the Senate now.
Yeah, that's the report this morning, that maybe even Mitch McConnell in the Senate is thinking that that's their best option, because of course, it would, again, be an unusual circumstance, and precedent isn't running very deep here. But it's assumed that in the event of a vacancy under Alabama state law, the governor would appoint a temporary replacement.
A temporary replacement for the temporary replacement.
Right. And then that starts a new calendar, a new clock ticking for a new special election, basically vacating the one that's about to take place. I'm just sitting here right now. I'm not entirely sure that that is kosher under Alabama state law, but the late morning reports today suggest that it is.
And if that
a new clock would start ticking on a special election if a new senator was temporarily appointed.
But then they still don't have a Republican in that seat. It still remains an open seat? Or
that would be the cost to McConnell, that he would lose one Republican vote. And, of course, we've got a tax bill coming up here in a week in the Senate. And this isn't the best time for the Republicans to have a seat vacated.
In the meantime, could Alabama's governor put somebody else who's very conservative in that seat that Luther Strange was holding until they could put somebody else in that? This is starting to give me a headache thinking about it.
Well, it would suggest that McConnell and governor of Alabama might want to consult with each other before either one of them pursues that strategy.
But they could do that. They could name a new temporary senator, right?
Absolutely. And that new senator can be sworn in the Senate within hours. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So it's conceivable that it wouldn't create a serious problem for the Senate Republicans. But, you know, normally when there's a vacancy, a governor takes a little time to figure out who ought to be appointed. In this case, you might expect this to be coordinated very carefully between Senate Republicans and the Alabama governor.
Wow. My colleague John Grayson just texted me and said that you, Steve, are the first man to ever use the phrase Alabama state law in the same sentence as the word kosher.
I won't comment further on that.
Steve Smith is a professor of social sciences and political science at Washington University and author of The Senate Syndrome. Thanks for helping me unravel all of this. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.